Hello, everybody. Welcome back to SFG Podcast episode 11, Christmas Eve special. How everybody else doing? I hope everybody's well. I am here. I am your humble and gracious host, Lion Zion 4, aka Mr. Lion BKA. I'm running out of BKAs. CKA, President of Lacazette Fan Club, as y'all already know. Bow. Here with my co-host, Mr. Scruffy One himself, Sakani Sinclair, aka Coach Sick, BKA Top Striker, CKA, I don't even know. Sick, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Ah, man, I'm just trying to keep the vibes up, bro, because Arsenal is definitely breaking my own vibes. So
I heard that.
Keep my vibes up. It's Christmas Eve, so you already know I'm just taking it a day at a time, sir. How about yourself?
Yeah, same, man. I'm, you know, trying not to let them ruin my day.
Exactly.
They're literally game after game. That seems like that's the truth.
So. It seems that way, right? It definitely seems that way. And I know the last time we've had the pod, it's been a few games since then. We just haven't recorded, mainly because I just, you know, emotionally cannot deal with this. So being that we have a big game coming up during Christmas break, Boxing Day game, huge Boxing Day game against Chelsea FC, we had decided to bring on a guest, our second guest to the podcast. I would like to introduce you to a friend of ours, both of ours, since we've known since, I would say, grade school, former Region 3, I think, player. Yes, former Region 3 player, former High Point University standout. Former Colorado Springs Switchbacks FC star, former Guam International. I don't know if I'm missing any more, but and also Chelsea fan, my good friend Shane Malcolm. Shane, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. That's quite the intro.
I'm trying to work on my intros, man.
For that being the second one, you did.
You feel me? It's not bad. It's not bad. Thank you, man. So Shane, real quick, we just started off with just redoing intros. Since I've known you, you've been a Chelsea fan. So let me ask you a quick question on that. When give me your earliest Chelsea memory, like how you became a Chelsea FC fan.
That's funny. I was an Arjen Robben fan before I was a Chelsea fan.
Nice.
I was an Arjen Robben fan, I wasn't a football fan. So I'll say I started playing football 2001, 2002.
Okay.
And, you know, as you get more and more into it, started watching football because that's what you do.
Naturally.
And then, you know, what was going on the telly was you saw men's like Drogba banging goals and men's like Arjen Robben running flanks with guys like Joe Cole and, you know, quite had like a fun early 2000s with Jose at the helm.
Yeah. And most of those Drogba games, the banging in goals are probably against our team. Just admittedly so.
Drogba loves an Arsenal goal.
He loves Drogba. A man that I don't think there's any. I think outside of maybe like Wayne Rooney, I don't think there's been another striker in the Premier League that has a better goal tally against Arsenal than Didier Drogba. I think Drogba has scored almost every game that he's played against us, man. He used to give me nightmares, man. But what a player. What a player. Fantastic player, for sure. One of the best in the Premier League, I think.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So, yeah, man, that's pretty cool. I mean, now, obviously, you know, from 2012, 2011 upwards, you've seen some good success from Chelsea FC, definitely. Champions League titles and Premier League titles, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Are you throwing shade or are you just...
No. Listen. We don't have one of those trophies.
We're starting early.
No, I'm saying you've seen, you know what I mean? You've seen great success. Mourinho going and coming and, you know, all that good stuff. So it's been quite well. If I may say so myself.
Yeah. I've enjoyed my time as a Chelsea fan. I can't, you know, I was only ever a Chelsea fan, so.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you weather the storm at the end of the day.
Oh, hey, we know all about weathering storms over here, my friend.
I tell you one thing, though.
We're still trying to weather this storm.
Would not happen on the other side of London.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference. And we're going to get into that. for what I do want to talk about is let's start from the top then. Start from the season so far. So similar situations, I guess. Frank Lampard being a first year coach, former Chelsea, you know, former Chelsea player, former Chelsea captain. Very comparable to Mikel Arteta on our side, you know, our side of London, former Arsenal captain becoming a head coach, both in very new positions, both having very different summers, I guess you could say. One on one side, you have Frank Lampard, who's been backed by your owner, spending, I don't know, I can't even... Let's call it 200 million. I don't know how much you guys have spent this summer, but you got a good amount of players coming in. And
it gotta be more than that.
I would say 300, maybe 300. I don't know, but let's just say more than us.
Himself was 100, right?
Yeah, 150 by himself. Kai Havertz was 150. Ziyech was, I think, 35, if I'm not mistaken. Pulisic was already before that, but Werner was like 50.
50,
yeah, 50, 60.
Yeah.
Big as a steal. Yep. Chilwell. 50, 60. Mm-hmm. Mendy, your goalkeeper. Mendy. I think that was 25 Mendy. Or something like that.
That's something a steal.
Like that. Thiago big Silva facts. Was a free transfer.
He was free.
Yeah, free transfer.
But that's still a big addition.
Big addition to the team, too. I mean, it's you guys spent like you wanted to be a top four team. And as of right now, it looks like you guys are a main top four team. So the season, how do you think the season is looking at the first so far going into January? We're almost about the halfway point now. How would you say the season has been so far for first year? Just in general, compared to last year.
I'll just start from the top. I'd say as the summer rolled around and we were signing all these players, first and foremost, I was excited. I believe mm-hmm. every Chelsea fan was excited. And these are guys that you see tearing up their leagues. You know, I was excited for the Kai Havertz and Timo Werner connect. I wasn't sure how it was going to look, and mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how Kai was going to do in the Prem, to be honest.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of hype around him, and I thought we had promising wingers already, and I wasn't sure where else on the pitch he was going to play other mm-hmm. than, you know, where he loves to play Mason Mount. But,
yeah,
you know, lots to say about that.
But yeah.
So far, I'm still watching Liverpool like, yo, just don't run away again, you know, to make it, you know, quite an entertaining season. And it has the potential to do so when you look at the top. The mm-hmm. top five right now in the table, like everyone's pretty close in points.
Yeah.
So it's fun when it's like this, but we'll know more at the turn of the year. Right now, I kind of like Boxing Day is kind of to me the that point where I really start turning paying attention to the table.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I agree. Yep. I agree. And if you look at the table, I mean, you know, Liverpool at 31 points, and I think there's 6 points, maybe 5 points separating first and fifth place and first and sixth place. I think Tottenham, I think it's at six now on 25 points. So you're looking at, you know, 6 points, that's two games. You know, the two game swing right. can happen at any time. So, you know, I definitely agree with you. I don't think Liverpool is just going to run away with it. And anything could happen with this season being the COVID season with no fans and fans, and anything could happen. And I think you guys are definitely right there in the thick of things, you know?
Yeah.
So I comparing your season to ours, it's definitely been the other side of the coin in terms of expectations. We were excited too in the summer. I think going into deadline day, us signing Thomas Partey and you guys signing the men that you guys had signed. You guys got your business done pretty quickly. I do remember Ziyech being signed really quickly. Which is a player that we also were looking at from last year.
Didn't Ziyech sign from before the season was even done?
Yeah, he signed. I think in January. I think he signed like a pre-contract. It might have been January. Somewhere. I don't know. That was one of your first signings though, and I was really disappointed about that because that was a player we had been looking at for a year or two now. And I think Mark Overmars works at Ajax, which is a former Arsenal player that had came out in a few interviews and said, you know, he was wondering why Arsenal didn't go for him because this is a kid that, you know, would flourish there. And I just seeing your team already with Christian Pulisic, Mason Mount and all these guys and adding another class player like Ziyech, just it just makes it all the it makes it all the better for a team like that, because now you guys have so much competition. And the best teams are the teams that have competition, right? Steel sharpens steel. I could imagine a training session with Kai Havertz, Hakan Ziyech, Mason Mount, Pulisic, and all these guys, Werner, and everybody trying to get a spot. And that only creates a winning environment. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not surprised at how good you guys are doing in the season so far. With us, it's a little different because we've sent out a lot of guys on loan, Lucas Torreira, Guendouzi, et cetera. And we were expecting a little bit more money to be spent in the summer. That didn't happen. And now we're in a, I don't want to call it a crisis, but we're definitely not where we want to be. So both teams are, I guess, on different sides of form going into Saturday. And like I said, 6 points separating first and sixth. So this, you know, this game, if you guys get 3 points from this game, you guys could be very well in second place, you know, whereas if we lose, we could be a step closer to the bottom. With that being said, let's talk about Saturday's game. I didn't take a look at your injury report. I wanted to take a look at it, but it looks like you guys are pretty healthy. So I want to talk to you about your probable starting 11. Definitely so much competition in your team, and being that you guys are on form, winning 3-0 against West Ham last on Monday. Looking at that lineup, after losing two games, true. But you look like you're getting back on form, and looking at that starting 11, there's a lot of questions, man. There's a lot of guys there. You know, there's Ty Abraham looks like he wants to start. You have Giroud that's been balling in Champions League. So let's go through it. What do you think your 11 looks like? Let's start with the backline goalkeeper. I'm assuming Mendy over Kepa. I don't know if you're a Kepa supporter or not, but I'm assuming just a hunch you might want to have Mendy there instead of Kepa.
World of a difference.
I want to go back
to the statement you made just about, you know, having such a deep team. Mm-hmm. And iron sharpens iron. It's one of those things that I've been trying to study in you know, my life as a fan.
Yeah.
And again, I have to look at a team like Liverpool that did so well through like all competitions.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And one thing I realized was their consistency in their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And they were like allowing themselves to have just such good rhythm throughout the entire season. Mm-hmm. So when I look at my squad on a week to week, like I'm legit before a game start pulling up a team sheet because I don't know who's about to start today.
Gotcha.
Like it's a mystery.
Gotcha.
To me every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good problem.
I don't know if it's a good problem to have even as a coach, you know, like as a coach, maybe Jurgen is one of those guys that can handle and manage really well, that those guys on the bench are still feeling a part of the team and a part of the unit, you know, because
what I will say though is that Liverpool kind of had a little bit of luck because they didn't pick up the injuries like people would have thought, because the same 11 was playing.
Oh, last year. Yeah.
Last season.
This year. Yeah.
They had a little bit of you know, luck on their side because they had the same 11 for Champions League. They had the same 11 for EPL.
True.
They made the switches for like the smaller cup matches, but
yeah,
for those two big competitions right there,
they had
the fortune was on their side. They definitely were able to put out the same 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Definitely.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. That's consistency is a big thing.
It's a big
factor,
man.
And to harp on that too, Shane, and say it's easier when Klopp has 13, 14 guys that he can trust, right? That front three doesn't change. It's Mane, Salah, Firmino, for sure. Right? Yep. That midfield three you can play around with. Jota's making the name, for sure. But when they were winning, though, you knew the formula. You knew exactly what Liverpool was going to do, and you just had to find a way to stop it. Now with Lampard, going back to what I was saying, you know, it's a good problem. It can be an issue to have too many decisions to make, especially as a new manager, right? Because now you have to ask yourself, do I start Abraham? Do I start, Giroud? Do I start Werner on the left? Do I start, Mount? Do I start Pulisic? Do I start, Ziyech? Do I start, you know what I mean? So it can be a problem because you can get it wrong. You're right. You can get it wrong. And if you get it wrong as a first year manager, they may look at you like, like the last two games you guys lost, right? They looked at it, the questions start to get asked about Lampard, like, oh, wait a minute, were you right to start whoever you started against Wolves, and then you end up losing to Wolves, maybe because, you know, you started the wrong midfield, maybe Kai shouldn't have started, maybe, you know what I mean? So I guess in a way, Jurgen Klopp has created a luxury of having the right 11, and if they were to lose a game, nobody can question that he put the best team forward. Whereas Chelsea, you have so many good players that if you don't get that recipe right and you lose, the questions start to get asked about the manager, right? Right. So that being said, so back line. Let me hear it. Let me hear. What's your back line looking like?
Just due to proper, injuries and stuff like that. I think Aspilicueta is going to start on the right.
Correct.
Thiago, like that. Center back with Zuma.
Mm-hmm.
Mendy and Net, as we spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson, left back.
So, okay, let me stop you there. Chilwell, is he still hurt? Because yeah, I heard he had a knock, and I think that's why he came off, right, last
week?
Yeah,
he rolled his ankle.
Okay. So I don't hate Emerson. I think Emerson's not a, he gets a lot of stick. Especially because you guys got Chilwell this season, and he's looking like one of the best left backs in the Premier League already. he's nice. Nah, he's nice. He's nice. He's a very, very tidy player. Very tidy player. But Emerson, I think what Emerson is, he's a real attacking wing back. You know what I mean? And when you're used to having Azpilicueta, who is not that, you know what I mean? he's the opposite of that. And then you put a guy in like Emerson, and he gets caught out. It looks bad. So, I mean, I don't think he's bad. I think that's a very decent and capable backup wing back. And then you also have Reece James too, who could play on there. He's hurt.
Ooh. I was gonna ask why no Reece James, but that makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So back line, I can see that now. So I'm assuming you're going 4-3-3, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Always played a 4-3-3.
Yeah, you've always been a pretty 4-3-3 team. So midfield three. How are we looking in that?
Of course, Mason Mount, first name on the team sheet every week.
Okay. Interesting.
I believe we'll go with a Kante Kovacic midfield.
I forgot about Kovacic, man. You guys are
just
cool players.
Yeah.
Okay. Kovacic, Kante, Mason Mount. All right. And the front three. This is the big question here.
You want my front three?
Yeah, no.
Front three?
Okay. okay.
Well, right. give us both.
Give us both. Yeah, give us yours, and then give us Frank's. How about that?
I mean, I'm gonna just go with the starting lineup that I already wrote down. I think it's Timo, Tammy, and Pulisic.
Okay.
Damn, no. Giroud, huh?
Tammy bagged two goals last week. I mean, on Monday,
yeah,
you gotta go for the inform guy. I looked at that
scored
too.
Two last the week before, or he scored.
So okay,
his name's never been first on
the
team.
Yeah, I would say that he doesn't have in the EPL not in Champions League, in the EPL.
That is true.
He has Frank has favored Tammy, and now if this was Mourinho, I think Giroud starts because the mind games. And you're playing against your former team. I think if this was Mourinho's Chelsea, I think absolutely Giroud starts this game.
Mourinho's a very defensive coach too, as you know.
Yeah, of course.
Olivier is one of our best defenders from the front line.
Yeah, definitely. He was just like that for Arsenal too. Right. So what do you think? Okay, so what do you think Frank does? You think Frank does what you say? Pulisic, Tammy, and Werner, or you think he changes
for tomorrow? For tomorrow, I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's Tammy. I think you guys want a dynamic front three that runs at our back line. And I think, Tammy.
Shaky back line.
Yeah, very, very shaky. very, very, very shaky back line. And I think, yeah, I agree with you, man. I think that lineup is what we're looking at as well. I think Jrue will play. I think he'll definitely play, but I don't think he starts either. I think it's Tammy. I think it's Pulisic, Tammy, Werner. And I am definitely afraid of that front three for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Especially Timo. I mean, Timo is he's class. He's class. It's just a matter of time before he gets his, you know, he really just gets used to the Premier League. It's gonna take a little bit of time. Germany, the ball game's a lot slower than in England. And most players from Germany kind of see that as they come over, that the ball game's just quicker. It's just quicker. It's less space. There's a lot of space in Germany. If you look at, you know, the way Dortmund plays, if you look at guys like Sancho, I mean, they have time and they just run at you. Now, don't get me wrong, those guys are pacey, you know, pace or speed demons. But like, if you look at the goals that Timo scored in Germany, when he's just flying past people, he still does that in the Premier League, but it's just not as easy. I think he said in an interview the other day, I read something about him saying that it was more difficult playing in the Premier League, and that's something he was going to have to get used to. But I mean, what, the kids are what, 23, 24 years old? He'll be fine. I think he's going to score a lot of goals for Chelsea, a lot. And I think you guys found a really, 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 well, found, but paid for a really good gem. So I guess we'll go with our starting lineup.
Let me know.
Oh man. So we are facing a lot of injuries, as we do pretty much every January or every Boxing Day. It's just the Arsenal MO is to have injuries. I guess me and Sick can give you, you know, a blended thought of what we think our back line or what our starting 11 will be. I think for sure it's going to be Leno in goal, especially after the debacle of our backup goalkeeper against Manchester City. I'm not sure if you saw that, but shaky to say the least.
Shaky warrior.
big time. We're gonna go with a back three or back five, just because that's Arteta's way of playing in the Premier League. I'm pretty sure. I think we'll see. Sick, you can let me know if you feel differently. I think the three center backs will be Tierney, Gabriel. Was Gabriel served the suspension already through the FA Cup, right? So,
well, nah, he missed the Everton match.
Oh yeah, the Everton match. Correct. Yeah. So I think it'll be Tierney, Gabriel, and that third center back, I'm not sure. I think I was gonna say Rob Holding, but it might be David Luiz.
And that's the thing. I was gonna switch that. I had all those players starting, but I had Tierney playing on the left.
Yeah.
And then it would be
Gabriel on the right,
left center back.
Okay.
David Luiz down the center, and then Rob Holding on the right.
Okay.
That's what my three was going to be.
And then have Tierney as the left wing back.
Tierney have the left wing back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, you know what? Give me yours. Because it seems like you clearly have this thought out of way more than I do. So give me your starting 11.
Well, everybody you said is the same. So, it's going to be Leno in goal. Mm-hmm. Right center back would be Rob Holding. Even though he had an absolute shocker.
He's just not been on form Everton at all. And I like Rob Holding, man. I do. I think he's a good player. He's 25, 24. He's still not even in his prime as a center back. Yeah, and, you know, coming off that ACL injury, it's tough. But, man, he just has not been playing good.
He's had up and downs because he's had a few games where he's played really well.
Really good. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's had some games where it was just like
a debacle, man. It's a debacle. But it's like he's only 25. Like, he's not even in his prime as a center back yet. You know, he's a 6'2" Englishman that's not a pacey guy that come off of ACL injury last year. It goes back to what we're saying. If he was playing at a Chelsea or a Liverpool, where he would have time he wouldn't be playing. Exactly. He would have the time to get himself to work himself back up. We don't have that time. We can't afford that luxury at Arsenal. We have to play him because we don't have any other center backs that are really or Mustafi.
We have center backs, but you know, they're just playing for
I don't talk about that right now. Yeah, exactly. All right, so give me your midfield.
My right back is I guess going to go back with Bellerin.
He's going to start Bellerin.
Even though I would like to see Ainsley, but this is my I think Arteta is going to go back to Bellerin.
Okay.
And then it's going to be Elneny and probably a Ceballos
pairing
midfield.
Okay.
And then the front three, I guess, would be on the left, it's going to be Saka. Down the middle, I'm going to go with Lacazette because I think he's going to give Martinelli a break and put him on the bench to bring him on. And then on the right side is going to be Pepe.
So you don't think Aubameyang? Aubameyang's still hurt. So you're saying you're assuming he doesn't play.
I'm assuming he's not playing. If he's playing, then Aubameyang of course switches with Lacazette, and that would be my
okay.
But yeah, that's my.
That was 11, William, right?
Who? Yo, don't get me started. And you know what's crazy? The crazy thing about it is Willian really has a strong chance of starting with Arteta. Yeah,
for sure, definitely.
And what he's been doing, I honestly almost said Willian. I almost put it past him
if Willian plays.
But I'm just going to give my 11, even though that I would like to see something different. But, you know, it's against Chelsea, so I know he's going to want to try to put the players that have been playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be my 11 for Saturday's match.
I agree with most of those things. I think now as we were saying to Shane earlier, you know, I can give you my starting 11, and I can give you what Arteta is going to do. I'm pretty sure it's going to be very different. I personally think we should play that same back three, but I would take out Holding. I would play David Luiz. So I'd play David Luiz through the center. I'd play Gabriel on the right, even though he's a left-footed center back, and I would be playing Tierney at left center back. The reason why I would do this is because Tierney's gonna get upfield anyways, and he's probably one of our better defenders, and I don't trust Holding and Gabriel and David Luiz together. Those are three guys that are just a mistake waiting to happen. I don't want to see it. I think Tierney, at least on the break, I trust Tierney to get back there in time, and he's the fastest of the three, so I trust that. So I would play that three. I would play Tierney on the left, David Luiz in the center, because David Luiz at least has some leadership qualities about him. And we'll talk to Gabriel because, you know, the Brazilian connection there. And then Gabriel on the right center back. Personally, I'd start Ainsley Maitland-Niles at right wing back.
Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't blame Mikel Arteta for playing Bellerin, because Bellerin is at this point a veteran in the team and one of the leaders of the team. But you got to go with form, right? This in a London derby, you got to go with form. Just like how Shane was saying, starting Tammy over Giroud. I would start Ainsley over Bellerin. I don't think Ainsley has played terrible.
Remember last time Bellerin has played against Chelsea.
He's been playing good. He's played good. He's normally played decent. And I think maybe you'll get him into the game eventually. But I think I'm just gonna go consuming. Assuming
bring on defenders.
Yeah, and you don't want to, but I just feel like Bellerin's just been making mistakes, man. And I don't think Bellerin's the issue. But if Ainsley's been playing better, I'd rather see Ainsley versus Pulisic. Or who's going to be on the left over there? Is Pulisic on the left or Werner on the right, right? For you guys? That's your front three? Yeah, so
they swap.
But if Pulisic's on the left, I'd rather Pulisic go. I like my chances with Pulisic, with Ainsley. I do. Only because when Ainsley became a wingback, one of his first assignments was Eden Hazard when he played Chelsea a couple years back. And he played him very, very well. So I think Ainsley can handle that. And then on the left wing back, I'm going to go with Saka. I'm going to put Saka on the left wing back. Only because another time, you know, like I said, Chelsea game again, Saka's done really well at that left wing back role. And he links up really good with Kieran Tierney. Saka's one of our best youngsters in the team. So the midfield two, I would play same thing. Elneny and Ceballos. We don't have much choice because Thomas Partey is not fit. So I would play Lenny and Tobias. Now the front three, if Aubameyang is fit, I would play Aubameyang on the left, Lacazette up top, and Pepe on the right. If Aubameyang is not fit, I would be playing, I think you start Martinelli, man. I think if Martinelli's fit, you start him. I think you start Martinelli on the left, Lacazette up top, Pepe on the right. I think Martinelli, that little injury that he got against against Man City was mainly like a bone bruise or like just a bruise in general.
That's the only reason why I didn't start him.
Yeah.
I didn't know the severity.
But it looked like, I read the injury report today, and they said that he was being assessed and that he should be in training tomorrow, hopefully, for Saturday. Well,
If he's fit, then definitely.
If he's in training, play him. I'd play him. And it sucks because 100%. Like we said the same thing about Partey, and then Partey got hurt. But like, I mean, Martinelli is...
It's a little different though.
Correct. Bone. Yeah, this is a bone injury. No, it's even a bone thing. I don't even want to say bone. It was more so he got hit pretty badly actually. But I mean, the fact that he walked off the field, he didn't get carried off. He tried to continue to play. It was his first game back in almost a year because he had the ACL injury, and it wasn't his ACL. I mean, meniscus. I'm sorry, meniscus injury, and it wasn't his meniscus. So, if he's ready to play, look, do it, play him. Gives us the best chance to win. I would love to see on the left side Tierney, Saka, and Martinelli. I would love it. You know what I'm saying?
Martinelli and Saka. You got to remember last year.
Yeah, they linked up a lot. And Martinelli, remember the goal he scored against Chelsea last year? I mean, that you want him on the field. Conte still has nightmares about about Martinelli from last year.
I hope Conte remember that for real.
You feel me? You gotta play him. You gotta play him.
That looks pretty bad.
So if he's fit, I want to see Martinelli. Aubameyang, I think, will try to get on the field, but if not, I would start. Yeah, I would go Martinelli, Lacazette, and Pepe, and I like that front three. I like that front three a lot. I think that's a front three that's dynamic, that can make something happen. I don't know if we can get the ball to that front three, but I mean, if we can, then we'll see. So, that's what it's looking like. I think personally, Arteta will not play that formation at all. I think the front three Arteta is probably going to go with will probably end up being like Willian on the left, Eddie up top, and Pepe on the right or something. I don't know. So I'm hoping not, but we'll see. So game predictions. Shane, how do you think this fares?
Let's see. Where are we playing?
I think we're playing at the Bridge, if I'm not mistaken. Is it at the Bridge?
Yeah,
Let me see.
I think it's at the Bridge
because I think we don't play you guys until like April at home.
It's at Emirates.
Oh yes, it is. It's at Emirates. I mean, like it matters. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? No, we don't have any fans.
Ain't no fans.
So
familiarity.
Yeah, true.
Familiarity. I'm gonna say a proper 2-1. Good game.
Yeah. Okay.
Chelsea.
2-1 Chelsea. Goal scorers? You wanna give me a goal scoring prediction?
Ooh, I think Timo might break away one time and.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna put one on Pulisic. The kids.
Okay.
I'm a fan. Officially a fan.
Yeah, me too. I am a fan of him too. I'm a fan of him as well.
I have to admit.
And
I'm a fan of him.
As for US soccer, this is big, to have a kid like him. To have a kid like him in the Premier League. I was hoping to see Weston McKennie in the Premier League too one day. And that's another I think him and Weston McKennie are gonna be spearheading the U.S. national team program for the next couple years for sure. So two goals for them. Who do you have? If it's one, who do you have our one goal scorer as?
Honestly, it could be anyone.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Honestly, without Aubameyang on the field, it's hard for me to say where the focal point of your offense comes from. Right?
Exactly.
And Pepe might sneak one, honestly. That battle between Pepe and Emerson could be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
If Pepe's on the right.
For sure. Okay. Sick. Let me get the game predictions.
My prediction is 1-0, and I actually did have Pepe scoring the goal.
Okay. 1-0 with Pepe. Yeah, a lot of faith in our back line right now, my friend. A lot of faith.
Hey, man.
I'm cool with it, though.
I'm not going to sit here and...
I'm cool with it. Yeah. So. I'm going to go.
It is what it is, bro.
I'm going to go 2-2 draw. I'm going to, well, I'm hoping for that, but I'm going to, I'm going 2-2 and I see a red card happening. I don't know from who.
But your team. How many red cards have you been in the past?
Yeah.
Well, like three, four.
Oh, Jacques, actually, Jacques is clear to play, right? He's off his red card. Yeah. He'll be on the bench.
Both of them are back.
Jacques will be on the bench. Oh, man, what if you see? What if he starts Jacques? Oh, my God. Imagine Mustafi, Jacques, David Luiz, and Willian in our starting 11. Relax. I would turn off the TV. I would turn it off. I wouldn't watch the game.
Yo.
I would refuse. I would refuse to watch that game. I think I'm not an Arteta out guy, but if I were to see those four players in that starting 11, I would probably switch. I would probably switch. I think 2-2. I think Giroud comes in and gets the second goal on the second half, because every single Arsenal former player has scored or assisted against us this season, whether it be Theo Walcott for Everton, Iwobi with the assist. You know, if it's a former Arsenal player we're playing against, you can bet that he's going to score or assist against us. So I think Giroud, I think Timo gets on the score sheet first, and I think Giroud maybe in the second half, you guys either go up 2-1 and then maybe, you know, we fight back and end up getting a draw somehow. Maybe Aubameyang comes off the bench and secures a 2-2 draw for us, hopefully. And I think Lacazette scores. I think Lacazette gets on the score sheet as well. So 2-2. That's what I got. I'm hoping for, you know, in the perfect world, I'm hoping 3-0, right? But it's just being rational. I think I'm calling 2-2. I think it'll be an open game. Chelsea's attack has just been out of this world. One thing you guys do not have an issue with is scoring goals. So I think goals will be scored in this game. I think both our back lines have been shaky.
Always,
you know, so it's, but you know, you guys, I think you guys are like second in the league in goals outside of Liverpool. You guys have 29 goals this season. Liverpool's at 36 and then everybody else is, I think Man United's at 28. We are at a staggering 12. So, you know. So it and 18 goals against, which isn't bad. Actually, it's not even terrible. Man United has more goals than us against. Liverpool does too, and Everton. So it's not terrible, but we're not creating enough. All right. So after that, so manager grades so far. This is a really good question. Yeah. What do you? How do you?
I got a question after you.
After manager grades? Okay, ask me.
Well, no, it has to do with it, and I want to ask after I see his grade.
That okay, he yeah. So the 6 months into this season, or 5 months, what do you if you're gonna give a letter grade to Frank Lampard, what would that be?
I'm gonna give him a B. I'd say a solid B.
Okay.
Solid B, probably B+. Just honestly, based off of everything, quick turnaround, juggling different competitions.
Yep. No preseason.
Managing. Right,
mm-hmm.
Man, managing all these newcomers to the squad in itself, and yeah, I'm gonna give him a solid B. I think he's doing a good job. I'd like to see him play Christian more. That's all.
Now, do you think he's maybe?
I don't want to throw that bias in there.
Yeah, or do you think he's maybe man managing Christian because of the bias? Could it be that? Could it be that? He doesn't want to put unnecessary pressure on Christian, considering.
But you also got to remember, Christian has been injured quite a few.
Yeah, he has. He has. So,
I that's the only reason why I wouldn't throw the bias in that decision yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this from early though. Like as just from a fan like watching. Yeah, he has been injured, but to me, he's one of those guys that's like, and it's. So crazy to say this at one of the top clubs in the Prem, that he's one of those guys that like I love seeing on the field.
Yeah,
and I feel like we need to have him on the field.
He's exciting, man.
Yeah, he offers a different Definitely. Dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
Him and Mason, man, both of those kids. Excited. I want to say you're before, not to cut you off, sick. I think Chelsea and you know obviously bias in my team, but I think Chelsea and Arsenal are the two clubs I think that have the most exciting youth. in terms of players under 22, under 21 or under 22. I don't think it's a no-brainer. I mean, the kids you guys have, Reece James, Mason Mount, Pulisic, Tammy. Tammy's like, wasn't Tammy like 20? I think he's like 20 years old, right? Or something like that. Like, I don't even think he's legally able to drink in America yet. Tammy's another guy that given the right development can become a world beater, you know, for sure. He's 23. But even still, you know, he just turned 23. So I think given the time, these kids are going to be very, 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 very good once they hit their prime. So as well as us. I mean, I think if you look at Gabriel Martinelli, who's what, 19 now, Saka is, I think he just turned 19, right? Marco Saka just turned 19, sick, if I'm not mistaken. Turned 19 this year. Saka's already made his senior England national team debut. Martinelli almost had a Brazilian call-up last year before injury. And you know how hard it is to get into the Brazil national team. I think he had a U23 call-up, if I'm not mistaken.
He did, him and Gabriel.
So Gabriel, another one who's, I think Gabriel's what, 24? I think 23. Gabriel's 23. You know, we Eddie Antekia, another U20. I think he was the leading. He broke the record most goals scored for the England U21s. 21 years old. So I mean, we have, and Arsenal's always had a history of kids, right? I've always had a history of playing kids and doing that. Chelsea, not so much. I think I have to give credit to Roman. To their owner, because you guys have never really been a team that's been for the kids, right? It's always kind of been get the top players, get top players at the time and bring them into the fold for a couple years. And you guys have really done a lot to get your kids playing time for sure.
That's my question is, how do you feel about Frank playing so many kids at one time? Because I feel like we need, like, with the season that we're having right now, I feel like Arteta should have done that a lot sooner, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear what you, because last year, you know, you guys played a lot of kids, like Mason Mount, I'll even throw Pulisic in there here and there, Tammy, Reece James, you guys had a lot of kids out on the field at once. And like, you know, like Mark said, it's not known that you guys do that very often. So how'd you feel about, you know, Lampard making that bold decision and doing that for Chelsea?
As a Chelsea fan, it was hard early on seeing it, you know? It was like, yo, these guys are kids, yo. We're you know?
Yeah.
You know, where's our ballers at the end of the day? And our ballers were sitting on the bench while these kids were playing, you know? And obviously it was something that the coach, Frank, saw in these kids, as you would say, and really put a lot of trust in them, because he knows that they have the talent and they're actually showing and stepping up to the competition at the end of the day. And these kids seem, they're fearless. You know, these kids, Mason, fearless, Tammy, fearless,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
and just judging those two, because they're both English kids. And I think Frank is doing a great service for, you know, other youth players that have came through the Chelsea ranks that didn't have to just get sold or, you know, loaned out again for another season when they have the talent to play in the 11, you know.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see overall. Like, but at first it was very, like, surprising, and I think he did a good job of just slowly working that in, honestly. It wasn't just like, all right, Walipa kids one time, you know?
Yeah, right? Bust the youth them, dog.
He came in and he was like, yo, here go two ballers.
Yeah.
And then check out this Tomori guy in the back. He's pretty cool,
too. Tomori, man. I kept forgetting his name. I was like, there's another guy other than Reece James that's a next youth, man. Tomori is the next baller, too. I think
yeah, man,
another one with development is going to become a big player, man. You guys don't have to really worry about spending a lot of money in the next couple of years, because
you can't forget about Gilmore.
Yep, Gilmore too, man. Jeez, you guys,
baller,
man. You guys got it, man. You got it. You got the formula. It's
that's why I'm kind of, it's a little worrying because we have talent just as good as, I want to say, as Chelsea. Mm-hmm. But we don't expose them. It's comparable, but we don't expose them to, you know, first team football like we should. Oh, we don't want to rush them in. Hey, man, we're not doing good. So it's either you going to throw them in one game here or there and then, you know, figure out how they react to it. Because, look, Saka got thrown out in there. Look at what he – look how he turned out.
Saka also looked more ready than most of the kids. But, all right, now let me say this, though. Let me just quickly interject. And mm-hmm. Shane can attest to this, too. I think it's easier in Frank's situation to play the Utes when you have – a veteranship of a Azpilicueta, now a Thiago Silva, a Jorginho, a Kante. You have guys that now have very in-depthly shown the Willian. DNA. You had Willian before. That shows the DNA of Chelsea. That shows before, the standard.
He turned into a fraud.
Yeah, not even gonna go there. But that shows these kids how to play. You know, Chelsea football. You know what I'm saying? How to become proper professionals. And I think when you look at Arsenal's side, it's not so much. I don't think. I mean, you look at our captains, right? Bellerin is a captain now. Rob Holding was a captain before. Ainsley Maitland-Niles was the captain last week. Ainsley Maitland-Niles was, you know, one of the kids we were talking about 3 years ago. You see what I'm saying? So I think for us, we don't have the Kante, the Jorginho, the Azpilicuetas that give the youth more confidence into stepping in those roles because they know. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day when Fabregas and Theo Walcott and those guys were when we were really playing all the youths, who did they have to look up to? Patrick Vieira, Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry. You see what I'm saying? They had these guys and in Theo's book, he even said it. Going into training sessions with Patrick Vieira and Kulo Torre and these guys, you knew you had to step your game up. You knew it wasn't no laughing thing. You know what I'm saying? Like if you didn't step up in training and show them that you were able to play at this level, then it didn't matter what the manager thought. They made the decision. You know what I'm saying? The Thierry Henrys made the decision of the team that this guy was ready. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is the big difference now because we don't have that now. We have a team that's struggling to find an identity. We don't have, you know, Aubameyang, maybe, yeah. You could say that, you know, Eddie and Gabriel and all those guys do say that Aubameyang's a good Saka. We'll say that Aubameyang is a good veteran person in that locker room. But it can't just be him alone. You know what I'm saying? I don't see anyone else. I don't see the Azpilicuetas and the Jorginho, the leaders of our team, helping the kids get to that level. And I think that's the big difference between Chelsea's kids and our kids.
Yeah, I guess I could agree with that, but I still think they deserve a chance.
Yeah, no, they definitely deserve a chance to play. I would love to say, I definitely think Reece Nelson needs to play more. I definitely think Ainsley needs to be playing more, for sure. But I also, Reece we don't see it. Huh? You don't think Reece is ready? No. I don't know, man. Like I didn't get
more minutes.
I didn't think he was ready either, but I mean, at that Liverpool game, we beat them 2-1. He had the brace.
He gives us a spark. And every time he plays one game or half, like maybe like 50 minutes, and then you don't see him for another six, seven games.
Yeah, you don't see him.
Yeah, but how is he going to get ready? He'll get ready if you're not.
Can't get ready if you're not playing.
He literally gets. And that's another thing that I'm trying to say. It's like even though Lampard, you know, he play, you know, two youths at a time, they still got game every other game. It's not like they played one game and then they ain't play for, you know,
They played them into form. Those guys are getting played into form.
At the end of the day, they still got minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I don't understand is, yes, I agree with that, Shane. Reece, you know, I don't think he's ready yet, but
to play game in and game out.
Yeah, sure. Game in and game out. But how is he going to get ready?
He went on loan already. He went to Germany, played at Hoffenheim, and he played well. And to be honest with you, I think it's the big reason why he hasn't been playing so much.
It's because they got that bushy hair guy.
Because it's because of Willian. Yeah, definitely because of Willian. You know? But it's just unfortunate that he doesn't he's not
comparable, though.
It's not. But they play the same role. It is the same role. And then because of that, what Willian does defensively and the aspects of the game.
I don't want to hear that. No,
it's look, sorry. It's fine. We talk about it every week. No, we talk about it every week. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the reason why he's playing. Is what I'm saying.
No, bro, this man stands up on the field and doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything.
Bro.
I agree. But I mean, it's there. We know. I'm just telling you why he plays. I never said that it's a viable reason. I'm not saying that it's a viable reason.
Why.
It is why. What else is it? He's not playing for the zero shots that he takes every game. That's not why he's playing.
There's no way that could be why, bro.
It's unfortunate, but you know what I will say is I think Reese is more ready than Eddie and Tekke is. I will say that. I think Eddie needs a loan. I think Eddie needs another loan. I don't think he's ready to lead the line. And then be a center forward. I mean, you look at Arsenal center forwards over the last 10, 15 years. I don't think Eddie is as good. Maybe Yaya Sanogo. Maybe he's better than Yaya was. But I don't think.
Don't. Yo, chill.
He was probably better than Yaya.
I can't let you get that off, man.
I can't say he was better than Nicholas Bentner. I can't say that right now.
Nah, I can't let you get off. He's way better than Yaya.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I said he is. I said, I'm saying if you look at all the 10, if you look at the 10, last 10 years, let's call it 10 years, right? When did Thierry Henry left in what, 07? Right? 08? Something
say
like that.
He's better than, what's his name?
Who? Chamakh?
Chamakh. Chill out. Now you being disrespectful, bro.
Okay. All right. Yaya and Shama. Wasn't better than Danny Welbeck. I'm not rolling. That's cap. I think Danny Welbeck at his best is better than Eddie Nketiah right now. I'm rolling. I'm sorry. I'm rolling. Eddie, I think, didn't Welbeck have a hat trick in the Champions League? as awkward as Danny Welbeck is physically, I think he's more ready than Eddie. Eddie's like 5'7". Like, I just don't. And as much as we want to say the size doesn't really matter in the Premier League, it does. Look at Tammy. That's why Tammy at 21 is miles ahead of Eddie is right now. Physically, he's ready for the Premier League. Tammy's what, 6'3" or something like that? He can deal with the physical beating. Eddie gets knocked around in there, bro. It's just the way it is. And he's not, and at that size, he can't play out wide. And that's the issue too. You can't even play him out wide because he doesn't have the technical ability to play out wide. He has to play as a center forward. So he's an undersized center forward that isn't amazing with the ball at his feet. So you notice mainly guys that are small, right? Small number nines have to be crafty. Have to, right? They needed the Di Natales, and when Alexis Sanchez was playing up front, you have to be crafty if you are a small center striker. He's a smaller center striker that's not crafty. So what are we doing? You see what I'm saying? So
I personally think we're using him the wrong way. Like you said, he's not technical enough to play how we want to play, which I still don't know how
play
that
Balogun.
Is. But I agree. I think. And that's why I brought up the situation, because I think he deserves a chance. I think he's our next, you know, I don't want to compare the two, but I want to say he's our next Tammy that kind of breaks through as a center striker. And
Shane, if you may not know, you may not know him. He's a 18-year-old.
I know.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, if you don't know, he's actually linked with Liverpool. He's linked with Liverpool right now because he hasn't signed an extension, because a man like Eddie is getting game over him. So I would be the same way. if I'm sitting here in Arsenal and man like Eddie's getting the games over me, and what meanwhile Jurgen Klopp is inquiring about my services, I wouldn't sign an extension either. So, you know, it is what it is. Possible January moves. Okay, so
hold on.
You didn't finish. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, not even that. We didn't give our grade for Arteta.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what you sick? Let me hear it.
You go first, man. You go first.
I think you should go first.
If you want. I'll go first, and I'm gonna be real.
God,
he has an F. He has an F minus. and we spoke about this. I'm not Arteta out, but his decision making and player management is on the ground right now. For what he's doing, I don't know. Like, I know he doesn't have the best players, but hey, man, you got to do better with what you got. That's what's going to make you a better coach, better manager. Figure it out. But right as of right, no, it's not. Bro, we're in 15th, bro. What do you mean that's that's tough?
But I'm not putting. Okay. Nah. Good.
Yeah. No, I'm done. He has an F minus. That's my take on it. Nah. Wow. I can't give him anything. I can't give him anything higher than that. We're in 15th place. I understand the players are rubbish, but like, come on, bro.
I'm gonna give him a C minus.
Okay.
The reason why I'm going to give him a C minus is because I'm going to average out all the competitions that we are in right now. If it was just about the Premier League, yes, I give him a D minus, F maybe. However, in Europa League, we have 100% record in Europa League.
Yeah.
We're the only team in Europe that hasn't lost a game actually in both competitions. So if I were to give him a D minus or an F in the Premier League, you'd have to give him an A in Europa League, correct? And we're still in FA Cup, even though we just lost the Carabao Cup to Man City side that's clearly better than us. So I would give him a C minus altogether. The reason why I would give him a C minus is we've seen that he's capable of managing players when the players are comparable to what he wants to do. And Europa League is a perfect example. Aubameyang hasn't played that many minutes in Europa League. Most of the first team players, outside of maybe Lacazette and fucking Willian, because apparently Willian just has secrets for Arteta and just plays every game no matter what. But I'm sure you want him to play Saturday too, right? I'm pretty sure. I mean, it would be poetic justice to have Willian score against Chelsea, right? His second goal of the season against Chelsea. But regardless of the fact, Arteta, we won an FA Cup with the same team. The players are capable of more. I don't think they're capable of more consistently. And I think without having to back up, as we just said, you spend $300 million this summer, Chelsea, because Chelsea's team needed it. And not even and this is with a Chelsea team that had plenty of youngsters, probably the best youngsters in the Premier League. But Chelsea's front office isn't stupid. They know that this is a top six, that there's 6 to 8 very good teams in the Premier League, elite quality teams in the Premier League. So to compete with that, you have to spend the money, right? And everyone else is doing the same thing. We did not. And that is why. And that shows it. It shows it. If you look at how much money we spent this summer compared to Chelsea, compared to Man United, compared to these other teams, there's no wonder we're far outside the top eight. So I don't think as a manager, you can only do so much. You know, could he make better decisions with Willian and with some of these players? Yeah, possibly. And I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat that. However, to manage a team like Arsenal, you have to be 10 out of 10 tactically. 10 out of 10 every game to give us a shot at winning games. Chelsea, Lampard could get it wrong a couple games and you will still pull out in a result because you have superior talent. You see what I'm saying? So certain games, maybe he picked the wrong midfield three, but Timo Werner ends up scoring 2 goals and you guys squeak out a victory. That doesn't happen with Arsenal. If you pick the wrong team, we're losing 3-0 to West Ham or Aston Villa or whatever. You see what I'm saying? You pick the right team, we still might lose 3-0. You see what I'm saying? So I can't put this all on Arteta because he's shown that when the team is full of belief and playing out of their skin, we can beat Chelsea. We beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final. We beat Man City. We beat Man City in the semifinal. We beat Liverpool to end their unbeaten run. They almost went the whole season without a loss. That we were the one to get having the first loss. You see what I'm saying? So it's there. Yeah, it was us.
No, we weren't.
Weren't we? Was it us?
It was like Burnley or some shit. Then we beat them after.
No, it was a draw. They didn't lose though.
Nah, they lost. They lost. I'm telling you.
Was it? Okay, so maybe it was our second loss. Yeah. Maybe it was our second loss.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? No, we stopped their points total. They were gonna beat the record for the most points. And us beating them stopped that. But in either way, my point is still he has no room for picking an 8 out of 10 team. It has to be 10 out of 10. If it's not 10 out of 10, then we already lost the game. And that's a lot of pressure for a first-year manager. So unless you get backed like Frank Lampard has with Chelsea, it's going to continue to be this way. Emery was another example. Look at Emery right now. Emery's top four in La Liga. But you hear from Arsenal fans, Emery is the worst manager since, you know, since whoever. And he has a background, multiple Europa League title winner, had Sevilla, you know, in the top three of the of La Liga, won multiple titles with PSG. This is Emery. Emery's a big manager. He's not no small time manager. But look how bad he looked in front of a team like this because of the players. These managers can't go on the field and play for you. You know what I'm saying? He can only set you up to play and tactically put a team together that they hope can tactically run what they want them to do. But if these players aren't capable of doing it, then we're going to look like that. So I gave him a C- because, like I said, in other competitions outside of the Premier League where we're playing the kids more and stuff like that, he's clearly doing the right thing. It's clearly working for right now. But in the Premier League, it's not at all. And I think that unless he changes that, we're going to continue to see more of that. So I give him a C-, and I hope that we could pick it up somehow in the Premier League going forward. We're going to finish possible January moves. So January the winter transfer market starts in 7 days. So Shane, obviously you guys spent $250 million in the summertime. But if you had to make a move in January, where would you, outgoing or incoming, what do you think would help improve Chelsea?
To be honest, that's another creative midfielder. Really? Just a creative.
Okay. 10. I hear you.
To me, I like Hakim, but I understand like how Frank likes to play his midfielders too. Mm-hmm.
And Hakim does play out wide too sometimes. So
he mostly plays out wide for Frank.
I was gonna say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a guy like Timo, to me, I like seeing him down the middle of the field.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
Making runs into the channels. So mm-hmm. If anything, it's another like a creative midfielder and another nine or another winger. Mm. Like
I thought you guys would get another nine because I feel like Giroud is gonna leave.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rumors. Yeah. A lot of rumors saying that
Euros are coming up and he needs to get some game time for Euros. But I mean, if he keeps scoring like that, he's gonna have some suitors. You know, he's gonna have some teams coming in for him, and that could be money that you guys could use to go get another number nine or another wide player. You know, but then like I said, you have Tammy and Timo. Both of them can play in the nine. So.
Right. So I think we need to sell. Like we need to like just focus on that more than anything. And Mason Mount, if he goes down, I don't know what other creative midfielder we'll have for that role.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Is he still on the team? Is he still there?
Yeah. You didn't see the other day he's over here fighting U23 players?
Oh yeah, that was him.
that was a package deal for N'Golo, you know?
Yeah, probably.
For N'Golo. Yeah.
And he's English, right? So I mean you gotta get the English amount of English players in there, so I guess that makes sense. Okay. That makes sense.
I am missing Ross Barkley.
And I was gonna say he's out here balling over at what's the name right now?
And Loftus-Cheek is
and Loftus-Cheek, yeah.
Well, he's on loan, but yeah.
Yep. Damn, fuck. Loftus-Cheek too? It's all these
Loftus-Cheek ain't really doing much.
He's nice though. He's another player that can play a bunch of different positions. He's tall, physically demanding. I mean, you know what? I would kill for a Loftus-Cheek on Arsenal right now. I would kill for that. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Your team just doesn't look as exciting, so I'm excited to hear, you know, possible January moves for you guys.
Oh man, sick.
You want to start with that?
You know the first place I'm going.
I know. I figured
is a creative.
I figured.
That's like a given. You can go for the next one, but my first one is definitely a creative midfielder.
Okay.
No center back.
No. So the reason why I say no is because it depends on how many we can offload. If we can offload like two or three, then yes. 100%.
Remember, we have Mustafi, Callum Chambers, Socrates, Pablo Mari. We have like seven center backs, and only like three of them are you know, are worth their, you know, weight in salt, because all of them are just salt out. So we have like two good center backs and nine on the roster that we're playing, and most of which we're paying like 80 to 100K a week. So it's ridiculous. And that's being said, though, that is another reason why we've spent so little in the market, too, is because we have stupid contracts. We have Ozil on a contract that we could buy three players on. We have, you know what I'm saying, Mustafi over 100K a week. We have Socrates over 100K a week. We got rid of Mkhitaryan just this summer, who was on two something a week. So we have terrible contracts. That is the reason why we can't buy a lot of players, because what are we going to do? Can't pay one guy 150K to come over when we have Ozil on 350. You know what I'm saying? Laka's on 300K. Aubameyang's on 300K. Laka's on like two something.
But Laka's... I think he's at like 180, but still, it's close to two.
So it's close to two. Willian's at what, one something. You know, so we have bad contracts, man. Terrible contracts. So yeah, I agree with you, though. It depends on if these Mustafi to Barcelona rumors that are absolutely ridiculous actually comes to fruition. Then, I mean, it's worth. They did pick up Thomas Vermaelen from us when he wasn't playing at all. So
but he was playing a lot better at the time.
He wasn't playing at all. I mean, yeah, he was playing a lot better because Mustafi sucks.
I think it's because he got hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt a lot. He was hurt a lot. Yeah,
still,
that was a big shock transfer, though, because he wasn't playing for us. He wasn't at all, and then all of a sudden, Barcelona came. So I don't put nothing past Barcelona. They want Mustafi. Hey, listen, I'll drive him to the airport. If you want to go. Go ahead, bro. Enjoy. Go play with Messi. But it has to be, as you said, Sick. We have to get rid of players first in order to go ahead and get them.
Yeah, man. And that's the tough part. Like, even us getting a creative midfielder, we still have to offload at least two or three players before we could even think about bringing somebody in, like a player that we need.
Yep.
So it depends on who we can offload. Apparently, Arteta and Edu said that they have their plan set. They know who they want. And obviously it's just up to the owners to But they said he was free to leave in January, so we'll see. Free to leave. Yeah, we'll see.
He's riding out the very end of that 350K a week.
Yep, I would too.
I would three. Anyone else? Yeah. Anyone else? Other than a creative midfielder?
If we can offload maybe two or three center backs, I think we can bring in another defender. And then if not, we got to bring in somebody that's going to score.
Yep. I think so. Because
really and truly, I do think this is Lacazette's last year.
Yeah, me too.
As much as I like him. Mm-hmm. But I think he has one more year in his contract. He's going to be, 30 next year, if he's not 30 already. And this is going to be like his last year for us to be able to get some type of money for him.
Yeah.
So yeah. I honestly think we may even try to sell him in January and try to get, somebody a little bit younger, or use that money to get that creative midfielder and integrate Martinelli a little bit more now that he's back fit.
Yeah.
But yeah, those would be my three transfers. I would say another backup goalkeeper, but we just bought this one, so I don't think we're gonna.
It's fucking terrible.
I don't think we're gonna go ahead.
Yeah, we're probably not gonna get another one. We're not like Chelsea, who are a city that will go and just buy another keeper because they their first one didn't work out. We're just gonna stay with them for a couple years and ride it out. Because Arsenal doesn't believe in making mistakes, apparently. So, for me, I agree. I think player acquisitions in January. Well, I think we're definitely going to be active in January, considering we're closer to relegation than we are to a top four.
That's very hopeful with your ownership group still.
Yeah, very hopeful. Exactly. Stan Kroenke. Yes, because Stan cares more about the Rams than he does about Arsenal, clearly. But I think Hasum Owar is going to be our top target for us. That's the Lyon central midfielder that we should have bought this summer. Absolute baller. Hopefully, True Ballers FC.
Hopefully we have 60 mil for him.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be 60 million for sure. He's gonna be more than he was this summer, mainly because I think they're
he scored yesterday too, by the way.
To throw that out there. Yeah. I think are they second? They're second in league. Oh.
No. They're first.
They're first now? Oh shit.
Yep, they're first. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there. That's why I said that
Leon and the Leon is president does not like Arsenal. He is not a big fan of Arsenal at all, especially with the Lacazette signing and how that whole thing went down. So I definitely think
he said it already. He said, "Just make sure you have my coins.
make sure you come correct with my paper snaps.
If not." Just go ahead and walk away.
Oh my god, that's gonna be terrible.
That's the end of it. That's the end of it.
I will say,
if you don't have my coins. That's it.
I will say, if we can't get Owar, I think the second option is Emi Buendia from Norwich, the Argentinian player. Also a baller. He's a baller. Norwich has
He tried to leave before they. Before they went down, the championship season.
Yeah.
Well, after they went down, he tried to leave.
The other kid too is not bad from Nord. Did he leave? I forgot his name.
Nah, he's still there.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Another baller too, but Catwell. Is that his name? Chad Catwell,
yeah.
Yeah, another baller. But Emi Buendia has been on our radar. He's an attacking midfielder. Definitely the type of player we need. Similar to Owar in a sense that they're both dribblers. They both can manipulate tight spaces. I think Buanda's a bit more goal oriented. Like he scores a little bit more than Owar does, although Owar plays at a higher level, I would say. Either of them, bro. If we can get either of them, I think they change our team completely.
We make a statement if we get a war.
Yes, sorry, yes. I think that's a statement of intent for sure.
That's a statement if we get a war
for sure.
And I will give them a little bit of leeway, and try to say that they're trying to clean up the mess that was left with them.
I think if they make that signing,
what I would do
if we get a war, I would put Partey on ice until February. And I think you try and just go for Europa League. I think a midfield of Owar, Partey, and Ceballos, or even Owar, Partey, and Eleni, whoever, I think that's a good enough midfield to win Europa League. I think that you finally address the concerns that you have there. I would personally bring Lucas Torreira back. Off loan from Atletico. I think they said there's a possibility he comes back because I think they said Atletico hasn't been playing at all. I would definitely bring him back.
They want Maitland Niles.
I would say no. No, thank you. y'all come with y'all coins then if that's what you want. But nah, I'm straight.
Well, it's a loan deal.
I'm not even loaning him either. Because the way Bellerin's playing right now, Ainsley's going to be playing more anyways. But I think you bring Lucas back. I think you possibly put one of the kids on loan, either Balogun or Reese, if Reese needs to get the loan, or Emile Smith Rowe. One of them. I would put one of the kids on loan, Joe Willock. I think that's what I would do. Actually, I would bring Lucas Torreira back and send out Joe Willock on loan. I think Willock needs to get games, and I think he's not going to develop until he gets games, and he's not getting enough games. So I think he needs to go to championships team, play week in, week out, get kicked up, learn his trade as everyone else did. Ramsey, Jack Wilshere, Ainsley Maitland, now all these other guys have gone on loan and in the lower leagues and have cut their teeth over there. So that's what he needs to go do. So I think he needs to go out on loan. If Lucas doesn't come back, I try to bring in Doozy back, but I think that's not going to happen. So I would say he's not playing bad over at Hoffenheim, right? He's not playing bad. Hertha Berlin. He's at Hertha.
Hertha, right?
He scored the other day, actually. Funny enough. So I would say the midfield is the biggest concern. I don't think we're going to bring any center backs in until the center backs leave. So especially because Pablo Mari just got back fit. Callum Chambers just got fit. We, as Sick said, I think we have about 8 or 9 center backs. We have a lot of center backs. So I don't think we buy a center back until next summer. And then we get a good one to pair with Gabriel. And then we just get rid of Mustafi, Socrates, and all those guys. So I think the midfield is the biggest concern. And then maybe we get a number 9 on loan, but I doubt it. I think because we have the kid Balogun there and Eddie there and Luke and Lacazette there, Aubameyang, those are 4 center forwards that we can play. So I don't think we end up getting one of those. It's the midfield. The midfield's our biggest concern. The midfield is probably the worst midfield we've had in years. And I without having to address that, we're going to continue to be in the bottom of the table. If we go ahead, to be fair to Arteta, we signed Thomas Partey to help us out, and he has played 2 games in 6 months or 4 months or whatever that he's been here. So it's unfair to him. It's unfair to him because Partey does make us better. Partey in that midfield definitely makes us better. And without him here, we look even worse. So I would say, one last thing. If we could loan Christian Eriksen and do the swap for Xhaka, although we don't think that's a, you know, it's a rumor, but if we could loan out Eriksen for a loan swap for Xhaka, I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. I think Xhaka at this point is, I think his days are very numbered here. I think that Italy is more his style of play, the lack of pace, the more, it's more for the passers. And I think Xhaka would do very well in Italy. I just don't think the EPL is for him. I think for what we want, it's just physically not for him. I don't think Xhaka's a bad player. I may get out of hand sometimes with my comments about Xhaka, but I don't think he's personally a bad player. What I see for him on the international level at Switzerland, he's very good for that team. But that team and that style of play is not conducive to Arsenal. It's not. And in the Premier League, he doesn't have the lateral movement, the turning ability, the ability to stop counterattacks. He does none of those things. So I would rather do the loan swap, let him go try out for Inter Milan for 6 months, see if they want him. I would take Christian Eriksen. Eriksen can play in central midfield for us or come off the bench. He's way more dynamic, way more goal oriented, way better on the step, not way better, but better at set pieces. So let's just do it. I don't see why not. I don't see that hurting us at all. You might as well.
Yeah, I think, and you know me, I support Xhaka. Through
the
hard times.
Through thick and thin.
I agree, man. I think his time at Arsenal is coming to a close very, very soon. I'm not sure about that swap deal, but I do think it might help us more than it'll hurt us just because Eriksen, like you said, is more attack oriented and he can kind of help us in certain situations.
Yeah.
Agreed. But just him being a Tottenham player is going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. It will be. But I'm willing to look past that. He's an Inter Milan player right now. That's all he has.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I much would rather just go for the awards.
Oh yeah, for sure. Or Emmys. Definitely.
So
I agree with you there.
That way, you know, we can have those young, because they're way younger, you know, are arguably, well, in my opinion, I think better.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely at this stage in their playing careers, they're better.
But I wouldn't say take
go for that.
I wouldn't say get rid of Xhaka unless we get one of those players. I would say, as bad as Xhaka has been for us, I don't think we just get rid of him without replacing him with another player, for sure. Whether it be Eriksen, whether it be Torreira, whether coming back off loan, whether it be Emi, whether it be Owar, it has to be somebody.
And at the end of the day, like, Xhaka just started playing, you know, bad again, because he had a long, a long stint where he was playing really good for
Arteta. When Arteta first got here, yeah, he wasn't playing bad. Purple patch for sure.
He was playing good even at the beginning of the year. He was still playing pretty good. And then you know when we started losing games, it just
went downhill.
Went downhill, but it was downhill for everybody though, not even just him.
Aubameyang, everybody. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. So last question, Shane. Cause I know you probably got to get on to the fam. League finishing predictions. Where do you think Chelsea finishes at the end of the league?
Number two or three, honestly.
Okay.
It's hard for me to see Liverpool lose, essentially. That front three right now is just on another planet again. And I never sleep on Pep. That's the guy that knows his way around. I'm sure he'll be shopping around in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see us being number two or three. But Liverpool, they seem like the favorites to win it again. And just want to respect what's going on there. They won it last year by a landslide.
Yep. You know? Since, like, I think March, right? Ended in March.
Yeah. And again, just looking at that, hoping that they don't run away with it and we have a chance to keep it close until, you know, maybe give us even more hope to push, you know, going into the end of things. But
true.
As of right now, I say two or three. If we win the league, that's I'd like to see the odds on that.
I think you have a better chance of winning the league if you're out of Champions League quicker, to be perfectly honest with you. I think the longer you stay in Champions League, the harder it's going to be, I think, for you guys to make that push against Liverpool, only because you're going to be playing more games. I think you're still in FA Cup. You have the squad to do it. Don't get me wrong. You got plenty of players.
But it's a young international locker room. So if we were sitting in one tournament, shall you say, or one competition, you're going to have a lot of guys that aren't playing.
That's true. That's very true.
How do you keep those guys?
How do you keep them active? You know? That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. I guess the rest versus rust type of situation kind of happens, right? When you're not doing that, because we say the same thing about Liverpool, but they won Champions League and you know, and then they won the Premier League the next year and they made deep runs in both tournaments at the times that they were doing so. So sometimes it does help to play in all those competitions, you know. All right, that's respectable. That's respectable. Sick. Where do you have Arsenal finishing in the Premier League?
You know, it's funny. You remember a few pods ago where we said Arsenal was finishing top four?
No, I do not recall. I don't remember that. I don't know what you're talking about. That was a different mark. I never said such things.
Top four. Yeah, man. I do think we, you know, start winning games and we climb back up the table, but I think we don't go no higher than, you know, eighth, ninth.
I think if we're lucky, we'll be a top 10 team. We'll be in the top half of the Premier League if we're lucky. As bad as we've been playing, we have also, you know, the condensed schedule. We've been playing some rough teams outside of the Burnley game. Southampton's a top 10.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, we have yet to really play the bottom teams. I think that is where we're going to see Arteta get out of the hot seat or get even deeper, right? I think if we lose to Chelsea on Saturday by, you know, 3-0, he's going to have his job. The issue now is going to be after the Chelsea game. We have Brighton, West Brom, Newcastle in FA Cup, Crystal Palace, Newcastle again in the Premier League, and then Southampton. That time, that January, is when we're going to be in the market as well. So from January, from December 29th till January 26th, until we play Southampton again, we don't play a top 10 team at all. If we don't get, you know, 3 points out of most of those games, then I think you'll see some Arteta out banners fly. So I think he's fine for now, even if we lose to Chelsea badly. But if we lose to Brighton, if we get a point off of West Brom, who I don't even has how many points does West Brom have in the Premier League? I don't even know. I think they have I don't know how many points they have, but just not a lot. Seven. They have 7 points. If they end up taking points off of us and you know, Newcastle and Palace and those teams, then we're in trouble. we're in big, big trouble. So I think we'll be, I think we should finish in the top 10 in the Premier League. And I think we make a deep run into the Europa League. And I think that's the best we get to. So anyways, Shane, I appreciate you, man, taking time out of your busy schedule. Again, if you want to plug anything, I also forgot to mention in your intro, co-founder of Boot Bags. Y'all go get your boot bags. You guys should know about that. Pretty heavy on the gram. If you want to plug anything, feel free to do so. It's all yours, my man. Do what you got to do.
Well, you know, I just hope everyone have a safe holiday, you know, with everything that's going on still.
Facts.
Being around
Facts.
Family and such. And
Pray
everyone stay safe and, you know, get to spend time with the family. It's been a very busy year for me as now retired footballer, filmmaker, and, you know, trying to grow this company, Boot Bags, into something that I never saw it
for sure
before. But it's been very helpful. And every 5 bags we sell, we donate a pair of cleats.
Tough.
This year, we were able to donate around 200. So, super cool.
That's what's up.
For sure, for sure. Really I'm gonna put your @ in our bio for this episode. I'll put the Boot Bags app there and @ in there as well, too, as well. So that would be, so that way it's on the on our socials on our side. But that's really cool. It's really dope what you're doing there with that movement, and that's real cool for sure. I appreciate you though for coming by, man. Listen, Merry Christmas. Man, tell the fam I said Merry Christmas. I hope Chelsea does not have a very Merry Christmas. And look, we love to have you back. I think we play you guys in March or April, so we should be definitely in two very different spots by then. So we'd definitely love to have you back on, man, and discuss where that's at up into that game. So
nice little time lapse.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So look forward. Actually, it's May. May 12th is when we play you guys. So that would definitely be that would be very interesting to look back at this pod and see where we're at.
Is that a midweek game?
I think it's the 12th. Let me see. The 12th is, and my birthday is the 18th, and I think it's a Saturday. So I think it might be a midweek game. It might be. It is.
Yeah,
it's
a Wednesday.
Yeah, midweek game. Yeah. Wow, interesting. All right, man. Well, yeah, like I said, we'll definitely appreciate you having taking the time and thanks for taking the time out to talk to us some Chelsea, about some Chelsea Arsenal, and yeah, man, we'll speak to you guys soon. Everybody else, we appreciate you guys listening, obviously, and riding with us for 11 episodes, and we'll definitely see you guys on the next pod. Yeah.
Yes.
I appreciate you, Shane.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Sick. Anything else, bro?
No, man. I just want to make sure, you know, everybody's staying safe. Like Shane said, be safe and have a happy holidays.
For sure, man. You guys too as well. Nothing else. We'll leave you with it. Peace.
All right, man. Peace.